Welcome everyone to the Tuesday 11th of May Meander Valley Council meeting. Just rolling my way through. Our screen's on up, GM, so I can't see what's happening behind me. No, not up, turned on, I actually meant.
Oh, no, I'm doing both.
Oh, good. Okay. Did we pay the power bill? We did we? There it is. I can turn around and get me out. So present are all accounted for. Welcome back, councillors. You missed one meeting, one workshop. Hope it was a good experience all round, so well done and welcome back. Present, apologies, no apologies, in attendance, good. So, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Would somebody like to move and somebody like then to second? Councillor King is moved. A seconder, please. Councillor Kelly, thank you. All those in favour, please sign and raise your hands. Thank you. Carried. Council workshops held since last meeting are documented. Obviously, announcements by the Mayor, announcements by councillors. Declarations of interests. Deputy Mayor. GM.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, two, one from yourself as Mayor in relation to Development and Regulatory Service Item 4, review of Policy 36, and a second one on the same matter from Deputy Mayor Kelly.
Thank you. Tabling and actions on petitions. Neil.
Neil, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, moving along. So public question time will come into play very shortly. There are the rules for question time in our meeting agenda. Public question time, there are questions that were taken on notice that were answered by the General Manager. Councillors.
I might not be reading it properly, but Martin Hamilton's question, I think there was in two parts, but the second part of his question. I think he had A and B, but both answers are there, but the second part of his question, possibly. Is it? Oh, that's his question. That's
yes.
Oh, that makes sense now.
Thanks, Councillor.
Thank you.
So we've got Councillor question time. Hang on, sorry, go back a step. I'm jumping ahead. We go to public questions with notice. There are nil. Public questions without notice. I guess we've got one up the back. Di, I'll get you to come forward and tell us your name and your address, and you've got 3 minutes to address council.
Thank you. Mine is part of a question, but first of all, I'd just like to announce that I have a proposal before I get to the question. My proposal has a double benefit to Westbury. In fact, you could probably say triple benefit, both to the Westbury residents, the Meander Valley Council, and all dog owners. With a designated fenced-off dog park, and by having this, I've identified that there's two areas that would be very easily transferred into such a venue. It really specifically needs a fenced-off area for small and large dogs, taken with a lot of feedback from different dog users and also from vets and other councils as well. The area I've identified is adjacent to the Meander Valley Works storage area in Moore Street. That could easily be identified, easily be transformed by fencing off the east end and the internal fencing on all four sides with two separate dog exercising areas. And in that area as well, there's plenty of room for parking as well, with minimal or no impact at very little cost. So this could be established easily in a short time period with a minimal cost to council. And I have more info and a design concept and further relevant information to discuss with councillors. And I'd like to, my question is, I would like to be invited to a council workshop in the near future to share this, as the 3 minutes will definitely not cover this. So the concept of having a designated dog area, we're the only ones in the Meander Valley Council with a large population that doesn't have that. And a lot of dog owners realise that they do need to have that fenced off area. The town common is clearly unsuitable. It was never a designated dog park. And I'll be able to bring along the concept brief and show you all that as well. And by doing this, this actually gives the town common back to the normal users, the residents. People use it for rehab, bike riders. And so we just have our big exercise area for the dogs away from the town common. That's safe, people are safe, and the dogs are safe. So I'd like to have an answer, please, after the meeting is over, when I could be slotted in to bring my concept to a Meander Valley Council workshop, please. Thank you for your time.
We'll get the General Manager to come back to you on that one, Di. Thank you. Thank you for putting that proposal forward. Thank you. Any other public questions without notice? There's a no. No. Thank you. Councillor question time. Councillor questions taken on notice. You'll see that there are two, from one from Councillor Knott, one from Councillor King, that have been replied to. Councillor questions without notice. I'll go to Councillor. Thanks, Councillor Knott. Councillor King with your microphone on. Thank you.
Thank you. Following the response to the article in the Examiner on May 6, published in response to my question on notice with regard to the last bank-owned ATM being withdrawn from service, is Council aware that the Westbury Post Office is part of the Bank at Post scheme, which means that they are an agent for over 80 banks and building societies? And is Council also aware that Australia Post do not charge any extra fees for this service?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I can add a response as an addendum to the interim response by Acting General Manager Jonathan Harmy. The Westbury Post Office and presumably all 3,500 post office outlets across the country operate the Bank at Post scheme. Australia Post is an agent for over 80 financial institutions and under the scheme provides access to banking services for individuals and small business. People can make withdrawals, deposits and balance inquiries across Australia. Australia Post does not charge a fee for this service, though customers are subject to any fees in line with the terms and conditions of their financial institution and banking product. Residents can find out more at their post office or via the Australia Post website. The scheme provides access to banking during the operating hours of Australia Post and plays an important role in ensuring community access to banking services. That said, it does not overcome the loss of 24-hour access of services provided via ATMs that have been removed. The rationalisation of banking continues to be an issue across communities.
Thanks, General Manager. That's another question, Councillor King.
Yep, one more.
Sorry, thank you.
Sorry, this one's a bit lengthy, but in relation to the issue of rabbit management in northern Tasmania, I again followed up with officers from Dapipwe as to the steps being taken by the department since Council's representations and their letter of response dated 25th of February. In following up the matter with a Dapipwe officer, I was advised that there are three officers to cover the entire state and that they are not in a position to address the issue or need to better inform the public about actions they could take to support limited efforts to control the rabbit population. The officer of Dapipwe has advised that the rabbit population management is fundamentally the landowner's responsibility, as is fencing and weed management. Given legislation imposes a responsibility on landowners, it would seem reasonable to expect that Dapipwe would take reasonable steps to A, highlight the level of infestation and rabbit problem across northern Tasmania, B, help landowners to contribute to managing rabbits and other invasive species for that matter on their land, and C, expedite the release of managing agents such as the Khaleesi virus when conditions for release are met. Despite legislation and efforts to date, it is evident that more needs to be done. I call upon Dapipwe to consider the resourcing needs to address concerns and improve rabbit population management outcomes. This includes the very practical step of letting landowners know what is being done and how they can help. Can Council again write to the DPIPWE requesting sufficient resourcing and a greater level of response to managing rabbits, please?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr Mayor. Yes, we can, and we'll follow up the letter of 25th of February in line with your comments, Councillor.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Mine's similar to Councillor King, a little bit wordy, a bit of a preamble. Mayor and General Manager, Launceston Council released transport strategy for 2020 to 2040 recently. In fact, it was in the Sunday Examiner on Sunday from Bob Cotrove, an experienced traffic consultant, had an article in the Sunday Examiner highlighting the outer suburbs, which included Prospect Vale and Westbury Road Network. As councils, we are well aware of the increase in traffic with approved developments and with more to come. Today, we're going to be asked to approve another 65 lots for respect to Tyler Village. Two questions, if I can, in this first part. Will Council be providing input and a submission with this strategy?
Yes, Councillor.
Okay. Secondly, will Council be consulting with the community to assist with any report?
The City of Launceston are the dominant player in the strategy, and presumably they will work through that process. The window of opportunity for lodgement of submission is 4 weeks.
Yep.
And so we have both a finite period of time and a finite resource to broadly consult with the community, assuming City of Launceston will shoulder that burden.
Things off, Frank. Thank you.
Apologies. Also at the weekend in Saturday's Examiner, there was an advertisement from West Hamer Council for nominations to the local area advisory group. Northern Midlands Council has a similar community groups. Would Meander Valley Council consider instigating similar groups to represent the different communities? Or could this be taken to a workshop for discussion?
Councillor Knott, we'll take that to a workshop for discussion. I'm unaware of the makeup of the local area advisories of our neighbouring councils, but happy to take that to a workshop.
Thank you, Mayor.
Anything else, Councillor Knott? Thank you. I'll close my book up for some reason. Yeah, no, I'll close my book up. Sorry, John, I was getting my book page. Yes, Councillor Temple.
Just my usual question, Mr Mayor, concerning the proposed prison. Is there any has any further information come forward since the last council meeting?
Not to myself, Councillor Temple, General Manager?
No, Councillor.
Thank you. Councillors, any other questions? Take that as no. Thank you. Deputations by our members of the public? Nil. Thank you. Over the page, page 13. So, for the purpose of considering the following planning authority items, Council is acting as a planning authority under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. We're looking at Planning Authority 1, and we'll just wait for representatives and applicants to come in to address Council. Six, seven, eight. There's eight. Two, four, six. No, seven. Seven, John. Seven, John. Got seven. Thank you. Thank you, visitors. Welcome to Meander Valley Council. Our table is quite large, hence our seating capacity is a little bit restricted, so apologies for that. We're now looking at Planning Authority 1, which is 320 and 334 Westbury Road, Prospect Vale. And before we take any moves or second on that, we've got representatives and applicants to speak to the council. So we'll get... sorry, Len, yes, you had to say something. I apologise. Thank you.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to... We'll put forward an amendment to condition 2A, as is up there on the screen. The amendment is just to make the condition more robust, more specific. The condition before was just a little bit too general and perhaps wouldn't achieve the outcome we're after. So we've changed now to what's been highlighted on the screen.
Thanks, Leo. All right, so I'm going to ask representatives to come forward. You've got 3 minutes to address council laws. Please don't be too nervous when you're addressing us. We're only normal people. So, and I'll get you to come forward and state your name and your address and 3 minutes to address councillors. I'll start off with Judy Wines if you're, you don't want to. Okay, well, I just scrub you off the list and that's fine. All the more pressure on Andrea now.
Good afternoon. My name's Andrea Carlson and I'm a 21-year resident of Trafalgar Drive at Prospect Vale.
Mr. Mayor, is that microphone working?
I'm here today with no professional qualifications to interpret performance criteria and acceptable solutions from the town planner's report, but as someone who, along with my neighbours, existing residents of Tyler Village and people of Prospect, will have to live with the decision you make. The trees that surround the entire Tyler House property have become part of the skyline of Prospect Vale, contributing to its livability, making it a place where people want to live. According to the planner's report, it's only been since 2020 that the small stand of trees on the boundary of Trafalgar Drive are not considered priority habitat because the area has been severely altered over time. Isn't it then even more important to preserve what is left? The value of this small stand of trees cannot be underestimated. University studies show both here at UTAS and at Edith Cowan University in Western Australia the physical and mental well-being benefits that green spaces and particularly bushland environments provide. We as a community have a responsibility to incorporate these areas into future developments rather than to just tear them down. The bird and wildlife that are attracted to this area can only enhance the lifestyle of residents of Reed Estate. Respect Living has the opportunity, as a not-for-profit, to do this development differently to the usual developer whose sole focus is financial gain. The opportunity to put people before profit. Although this development may tick many of the boxes with particular criteria and acceptable solutions, we've all seen examples, not just in this municipality, of the shortcomings of the planning scheme that we all have to live with. In this case, I and my neighbours consider that we will all have a huge loss of amenity if these trees are removed and even single-level dwellings are built 4.8 metres from our back fences. Our privacy will be heavily impacted, and in our opinion, a 1.8 metre fence and landscape of a single tree is not an acceptable solution. The scale, bulk and proportions of these units, even as single-level dwellings, cannot be adequately screened within a distance of only 4.8 metres. With the size of the land available to the developer, an alternative could surely be considered. All we are asking is that four units, from a total of 65, are removed from the development to allow the small pocket of bushland to remain, so we can all enjoy a decent quality of life.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. I'll ask Jason Binder to come forward if he's going to speak.
So my name is Jason Binder. I'm the Managing Director of Respect. I'll just give you a background on Respect and the organisation. So it's a not-for-profit organisation, a charity. We predominantly operate in residential aged care, but we do retirement living as well. We operate across three states as well. So we come from Ulverston. We're only a small organisation and grew to become now. We've got 13 or 14 aged care homes across multiple states. So it's a success story of not the mainland coming here and taking over, but we've gone to the mainland. The development at Reed Estate, look, there's a growing need for accommodation for older people. Baby boomers are getting older and they're looking for places to live. And as a not-for-profit, we're trying to provide a place for those people to reside. That's a peaceful community. Having said that, we are a not-for-profit, but that doesn't mean we can't make a profit. As you would know, in the council, you can't lose money. Doesn't matter if you're a not-for-profit or a private operator. Having said that, obviously we've got bigger leeway to do things, and we're doing as much as possible. I understand the neighbours over the back might like to be looking at the trees. However, they've suggested removing four units, which is removing $1.6 million from the project, and we can say that might be acceptable for a not-for-profit, but it's not. It's $1.6 million their residents don't get, because any money we make goes back into the organisation. So, that's money we can't spend at Tyler Village or somewhere else. And look, we're keeping a lot of the trees on the land anyway. Look, we're looking forward to development, looking forward to a decision today. Investing a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Michael Griffin.
Hi everyone. My name is Michael Griffin. I'm the Property and Sales Manager from Respect Aged Care. The thorough planning and development process that we've been engaged in over the past 8 months has enabled us to meet all of the relevant planning obligations set out by the Meander Valley Council on the relevant planning schemes. The Reed Estate development should be approved because there is a genuine need for this type of retirement village in the area, and there'll be a number of major benefits for both the residents and the local community. Alongside similar projects that the Council has recently approved, we believe that Prospect Vale and the broader Meander Valley community can be positioned as a highly desirable retirement destination for local Tasmanians as well as interstate tree changers. The area ticks all the boxes when it comes to what retirees want. There's a major shopping centre, medical clinic, golf course, nature reserves, world-class fishing, the Silver Dome and many other services all within a very short drive. There's a genuine need for a retirement village in Prospect Vale due to the significant growth of the 65-plus baby boomer generation. The last census, there are over 15,000 people aged over 65 in Launceston and 1,200 in Prospect Vale. Treasury predicts a doubling of this age bracket by the year 2050. So based on the Australian average for retirement village penetration, this equates to 2,000 retirement village residents just from Launceston and Prospect Vale area. We already have a waiting list of over 20 people interested in the units without any advertising or promotion. Apart from the growth in numbers of this generation, they're also intent on staying in their homes for longer or for as long as possible. Growth in home care has enabled people to prolong entry into nursing homes, but importantly, they need to be living in accommodation that's suited to their life stage. This is why retirement villages such as Reed Estate are so important, especially for people like those from the Meander Valley area, many of whom have been living on large farms their entire life. In terms of benefits for the residents, retirement villages provide a vital service for our ageing population. They allow people to downsize their life. It frees up time for people to spend their lives doing what they enjoy. No more cleaning empty bedrooms and maintaining large gardens. It also allows them to free up capital to spend money on things that they want to do now. They also provide vital social connections. Over half of all the units occupied by single people. The villages provide residents with a wealth of opportunities to form new social connections and social groups. We'll provide a men's shed, community centre, library, IT room, etc. to enable this. Currently in Australia, 64% of retirement village residents are female. They provide safety, security, friendships and a sense of community for an often vulnerable section of society. For residents whose health is beginning to deteriorate, Respect is an approved home care provider and will be able to offer home care and assisted living options so that residents can remain in their homes for longer. The units will be fitted out with emergency panic systems, so in the event of a fall, residents can get help at the press of a button. In terms of benefits for the local community, the construction process will provide employment for many local people during the stage, including architects, civil construction, engineers, builders and tradespeople. These people all come from the local community. The products used to build the units and then to fit them out, white goods, furniture, etc., will all be sourced from the local community as well. Respect is a proud Tasmanian organisation and we understand how important it is to support the local community. The vacant land is currently an eyesore on the major road through Prospect Vale and the development has been planned to improve the outlook of the local area and demonstrate the progress of the community. We believe the project fits within the Meander Valley Council's strategic plan, especially the six future directions outlined in it. Thank you for considering the development application for Reed Estate. We believe it's an important development for the Meander Valley community and helps Respect move one step closer to achieve our mission of caring for the elderly in our communities in an environment of respect, value and belonging. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Lee Dill.
Afternoon. My name's Lee Dill from Plans to Build, just speaking on behalf and in support of the Reed Estate development. As part of the application in front of you, it involves amalgamation of some titles. Throughout the process, we've found there's some inconsistency with a large strip of land at the rear of the site, which will be, through due process, acquired to form part of the development as private open space. There's also a large council asset on the site as well, which we're hoping to work with council and get that either put through as an easement or clarified on the title so everyone's clear on ownership. I think the development has highlighted a few things in the area there, which is quite a progressive area in Prospect where there's been a lot of subdivisions that have occurred, and we're just looking through the processes now, making sure that this site has all the correct titles and clarified ownership and also the use of the land, which is the 4.8 metre wide strip at the rear, which we use for what we can see as private open space. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee. Greg Garwood.
Thank you. My name's Greg Garwood. For those who don't know me, part owner of the said property, principal contractor and principal builder at this stage. I'd just like to share with you, I've got some lovely old photos which I've sourced of the said properties. The set mark's not obviously there. As we can see, lovely clumps of trees. 20-odd years ago, I was part owner and developer and project manager and construction contractor for Victoria Square. Very blessed with Giraffe. We run a small company, Giraffe Civil Contracting, and I've got some very, very good close friends and some very, very good subcontractors. One of them being Brett Carlson. Together myself, with Brett and some other guys, we undertook Victoria Square. Unfortunately, as we can see here, Victoria Square is in the trees. We had to, as developers do, knock down timber, native timber. Brett and myself, every bit of concrete, every bit of pavement, every pipe, every manhole, worked in conjunction with the council. We've done similar projects around in Prospect, born and bred in Prospect myself. Had the opportunity to buy the said property at Westbury Road. Had a very good opportunity to make some money and let a supermarket get built there. Had a change of thoughts, asked some advice from friends and bits and pieces, and we decided to get in touch with Respect and doing a joint venture, basically. Very good thing for the community. When you look at Prospect now, there's a couple of clumps of timber, and Andrea made a very good point. The site that Respect operates from now has got a very, very good clump of native timber. One of the last few in Prospect, as Andrea pointed out, there's over 200 native trees in and around Respect. Respect aren't in the business of knocking down native trees, and I can see Andrea's point and everyone else, and the good thing about living in Australia is we've all got opportunity to object and put our thoughts forward. But all I would ask is let Respect ourselves as a principal contractor and the opportunities we've had to work with council to do this development, work with the neighbours, and make this a development that we're all very proud of, as we are of Victoria Square. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Okay, councillors, your recommendation in front of us there regarding this proposal. Would somebody like to move this proposal? Councillor Sheriff. Somebody like to second it? Councillor Kelly. Thank you. As a mover of the motion, Councillor Sheriff.
I'll just open it up for discussion, thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Sheriff. Councillor Kelly, as a seconder, no comment. Okay, I will open it up for discussion and questions from the council. Councillor Knott.
I'll get it right sometime, a long time. Two questions if I can. First of all, on page 34, and it may have been discussed at the pre-council meeting, which I wasn't able to be here, and that's in relation to a minor drafting error that can be easily corrected with a condition. Has that been accomplished on page 34?
That will be a question for the planners, Councillor Knott.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Prior to the meeting, when it commenced, we amended one of the conditions to A. That relates to that, yes. Right.
Yeah. The second one, do we know at this stage if the right-of-way, the easement and so on, has been purchased by Respect, the 4.8-metre... Shaw and Munro? Are we able to, we know the negotiation and seeking acquisition, has that been purchased by Respect?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, my understanding is that they're working towards it.
Okay. I know it's nothing to do with this particular action today, but I'm just asking the question for, so that the other councillors are aware of the situation.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Sinfield, yeah, microphone's still on, Councillor Knott.
Yeah, we have discussed this previously, but for the record, this is a private development, but if it were done as a public subdivision or a development of an area and council were being asked to take over a road, for example, you know, the internal road network, would it, through you, Mr. Mayor, would it comply with the requirements for you know, the standards in terms of width, etc., for such a takeover in the future based on what we're seeing before us today?
Thanks, Councillor. And obviously I can't answer that question, but I will refer to somebody who can. So I'll ask Jared to come forward. And please, Jared, can you state your name and title?
Jared Allen, Team Leader Engineering. For you, Mr. Mayor. It would not comply with council standards. However, we don't have to enforce that they do upgrade it to the widths that we would for public roads, as it is considered an internal driveway.
So just to clarify, if our unless the standards were to change, then we wouldn't be able to take it over at any point as a public road.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no, we wouldn't ever take it over.
Thanks, Councillor. Questions? Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Cameron?
We just discussed this a little bit in a pre-meeting, but there's... I just was wondering if you might be able to explain it again. So there's a fair bit riding on the purchase of this strip of land to whether or not these four units would be able to go ahead. And even if we approved it today... then it may not happen down the track. So just, could you just explain what we spoke about earlier, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In stage three, there are five units that are in close proximity to that strip of land, the third title. Legal advice we received is that unless they actually acquire the ownership and can address some of those issues in regards to the right-of-ways, they wouldn't be able to construct those units, especially those four. The fifth one, they could just move the private open space away from that strip. They would be able to continue on with the rest of stage three, and they could then perhaps come back with another permit to address some other layout that might work for some development to occur on that land.
Thanks, Leon. Thanks, Councillor. Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Bower?
Going to say anything, but probably just a statement in here that I do feel for the representors in this particular instance, and but I also respect the planning application that is in front of us and what is it will do for the prospect area, and it does meet the planning requirements. So,
thanks, Councillor. Any other Councillor Knott?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also thank the representatives for coming and Andrew Carlson speaking. Also thank the Respect group for giving us an oversight as to their proposal. I just have a few comments I wish to make. First of all, I think the idea of a development such as this is good. The only problem that I have, and I'll get back to the four houses and the right-of-way, I am concerned, I've mentioned a number of times, with relation to the what will happen with the traffic, particularly at Bimbimbi Avenue. I know that the main entrance at the moment is off Westbury Road, but the idea is to use an entrance off Bimbimbi Avenue, and given that there's 65 dwellings, there's some issues with Bimbimbi Avenue anyway. We now have a bus, and I'll get back to that, a metro bus that uses that. So, and I am concerned about the traffic on Westbury Road. It's something that the other councils are well aware of. In fact, we talked about a question I had earlier today about the traffic study and so on. At Launceston, and now the intersection we have with Launceston City Council is at further down near Ralph Street, where we've got Westbury Road, part Meander Valley Council, part Launceston City Council. So I have concerns about another 65 dwellings. I was told by a resident a little while ago that this was before, in other words, about Christmas time, there were close to 100 units on one side of Westbury Road and 90-odd on the other. In addition to that, this is approved today, there's another 65. There's also a proposal at 297 Westbury Road for another 14. And that's in addition to all the development that we have approved in recent times using Country Club Avenue. So traffic is a concern. I know Mr. Midson has provided a traffic impact study. He's used Clarence Lifestyle Village, and I think in some ways it's a bit erroneous and not a good comparison. One, it's less, something like 50-odd as against 65, and the number of vehicle exiting and egress and exit is different. So I just have concerns as far as that's concerned. On the right of way, I do feel, as Councillor Cameron said, for those four or five houses on Trafalgar Drive that are impacted by this right-of-way. It's an unknown at the moment until there's a solution, because while that in the plan, I believe, has the opportunity to put clotheslines and so on, open space there at the back of the buildings that might go there. Those residents have, in my view, a good point as far as it's going to affect them from what they have now to what it will be. I know that you cannot expect that something will always be the same, But there's all. But in this case, not as if there's someone's building there. This right of way has been there for a long, long time. Smith and Munro, Shaw and Munro, and in fact, it's exercising their right. Now, whether that in stage three, and that will come up, I said, legally at some stage. Not so much from the planning point of view, but from the idea of a right of way. Bimbimbi Avenue, in December last year, a former Westerby councillor, and that's a long time ago, Mr. Gary O'Keefe, sent the mayor and the general manager and Dino too a copy of a bus turning in there. Now that's been fixed marginally, in a sense that going over this bus, going over the centre line, over the centre line there. But in addition to that, that this means there's another 60, potentially many of the 65 dwellings, drivers and KU, are going to impact on Bimbimbi Avenue. I think it's up to the council to do something about that. One of the thoughts we had was that suggested a sign which is caution buses turning if there's a lot more traffic. The other thing that is, I think, will become problematic, and that is the turning right at Bimbimbi Avenue, given the volume of traffic on Westbury Road and so on. But I just find it in concluding, it's been indicated about the number of trees and so on. While some of the most of them will be replaced, the other point that I'd like to make is that a comment that it's never been fenced. Well, it was brought to my attention. This is the roadway, the 4.8 metre, and there's been a gate or a fence across that from 2 years when I first came to Prospect Vale. It's not open, so you just can't walk from one end of it to the other. So to say it's never been fenced. It may not be a fence, but there's a gate and so on. It's impossible to walk through there. You go to any of the cemetery, walk past the cemetery, and you can't get there. So I'll be listening to other speakers, but I do feel for those residents in Trafalgar Drive. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Councillors, any other discussion? Councillor Sinfield?
Comments. I think it's fantastic use of the land, but I'm very disappointed in the configuration in some aspects. I mean, we've heard from some of those making representations about what I would call lot yield, and I don't think that's the be-all and end-all of the world. I know it's an imperative, or a greater imperative these days than perhaps it has been in the past, but I do think there is rejigging that could go on that would improve this development. As I say, I think it's a fantastic use of that spot for reasons that have been stated, proximity to services, etc., shopping and bus, etc. But I'll be, unless I hear something different, I'll be voting against it for the reasons of some of the buildings not meeting the building envelope, as stated, I think, on page 30 and the next two or three pages, four pages. I think there is a rejigging of this that could make it better than what it is. And so whilst I can't vote on density per se it complies with density, but in terms of the configuration I can vote on the things that are available to me, and I think it comes up less than I think it could be. And I think the copse of trees that's down behind Tyler House itself, if that were the next piece up behind the four dwellings, if there was a method of rejigging that so that a large part of that was retained, it is a remnant area in a sense, and I think a better outcome would be had by all, and that will inform my vote.
Thanks, Councillor. From my point of view, I'm not an engineer, I'm not a planner. I don't have expertise in redoing buildings within retirement villages, etc. But I've got to say, I was lucky enough to go and have a look at the said reserve roadway with the trees that are there, and I actually understand what the residents are feeling with the potential loss of that bush through there. Yeah, we do get attached to our patches of bush that we have around, and probably no more than some of us farmers that are out there. But we sit here as a planning authority, and the rules and regulations that are in front of me as a planning authority, in my mind, means that I will be moving to support this motion. Thank you. Any other councillors, discussions, or summing up? If not, I will put the motion to the vote. Sorry? Yeah, I'm about to ask if you want to, before I go to the second or the move of the motion. Yes, please.
That'd be confusing, that was, sorry. I think some of these developments, they have to happen. We know we've got an ageing demographic, and there's definitely a demand for these types of developments. It's very tough to keep everybody happy when developments are happening. However, I concur with what Wayne has said. I'll be supporting we have in front of us.
Thank you. Any other councillors want to make a statement before I go to the second or the move of the motion? Right. It was two. I thought Andy was the second. Sorry. Anyone else before I go back to the move of the motion? Move of the motion, Councillor Sheriff.
You virtually said what I was thinking, Wayne. You took the words out of my mouth. I do sympathise with the neighbours. But I also want to congratulate Respect for choosing to build something of this nature in our municipality. So they could obviously build it somewhere else and our municipality wouldn't benefit from it. So it is tough sitting on this table having to decide on these things. But, yeah, when we're acting as a planning authority, it's difficult. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor. On that basis, I will put the motion. So all those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand and say aye. That is, you got that, Marilyn? Just checking. You have? Thank you. All those against, please raise your hand and say aye. Thank you. Not Sinfield and Temple. Thank you. Motion is passed. Thanks, councillors. Thanks, representatives. Thanks, applicants. You can leave if you so wish before we go on to the next part of the meeting. Thanks to councillors. Development Regulatory Services 1. Environmental health fees. Katie's sitting there ready to go. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second? Yeah, councillor Frank. Your microphone, please, Frank.
Oh, strike should be fine for that. Do we have I know it's gone up 5% or whatever it is, 3.1 whatever. Is it possible to know what the original was, what it's gone from A to B and so on? Oh, that's that. Beg your pardon, okay. I'm asleep.
I did it.
I withdraw that question.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. I might have to give Councillor Cameron's actually asking for something to tap you with there, Frank, so I just Okay, moving on. So somebody like to move, somebody like to second, that we head on with this item. Councillor King, Second that, Councillor Kelly. I'll look at my notes this time when I go back to movers and seconders because I was wrong before. My apologies on the last item. Discussion, councillors, comments, questions of Katie. She's waiting. Anything that we should know about Katie that stands out that we really, that we haven't picked up on? Well, I'm trying to get something out of her.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think after five goes of doing fees, this is my first time speaking at the table. So, look, I don't think so. Anything further than what's explained in the reporting around the increase in fees following the waiver of the fees through the COVID recovery package last year. As far as health fees go, we haven't put anything forward in the recommendation for changes. It's just an increase in accordance with the CCI for 2020 plus the CCI for 2021.
Yep. Thank you. Councillor Sinfield.
Thank you. Just a clarification I meant to ask earlier on. The asterisk is against two items there. Does that mean all the other items have no GST applicable to them at all?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, Councillor Sinfield, that is my understanding of the fees and charges that can be declared under the Local Government Act.
Thank you. Councillor Knott?
I'll just make a public apology to Kate there, in the sense that I'm skimming through that and not being careful enough, so my apologies to you publicly.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Apology accepted, Councillor Knott.
Okay, thanks, Councillor. Any other discussion on this one? We've actually gone further than we normally do, so thanks, Katie. If not, as a seconder, Councillor Kelly, do you need to?
No.
Councillor King as the mover? Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Thank you. Against? Everyone, Marilyn, thank you. Development Regulatory Services 2, dog registration form. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Councillor Kelly, thank you. Seconder, Councillor King. Yeah, they are moving the meeting along. Any discussions, comments, councillors? Councillor Temple, with your microphone, please, John.
I'm just curious as to why a greyhound deserves a special classification, Mr. Mayor.
That would be to the end of the table. Because they got longer legs, Councillor Temple? I don't know.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I believe it's to do with the possibility for greyhounds to be used in a commercial activity.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. Any other discussion, questions? Councillor Sinfield?
The asterisk. Same question as last time.
Oh, yeah.
Same answer, I suspect.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the same answer as previous item.
John Harmy's got his hand raised at the back.
Yep, so through you, Mr. Mayor, look, just because that question's come up twice, Councillor, there's some fees that we charge that are required by legislation. So because it's a licence, a number of these are licences required by legislation, then GST is not applicable to it. So there's a bit of a point of difference in those, whereas some of the things that we talk about in our fees and charges are a service that council does. It's not required by law, it's discretionary, and therefore GST is applied to those. So there's a point of difference there too.
Thanks, John. Councillor Sheriff, and then Councillor Knott, I think, had a question.
I'm just interested to know why there's a big difference between the domestic dog that's not de-sexed and the purebred for breeding. What determines a purebred for breeding? Do they need special paperwork for that? Or
through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, when you want to register a dog
that's not dissexed and you have a purebred pedigree papus, that's the evidence we ask for to get that reduced amount of fees. Otherwise, they have to pay the full non-dissexed fees.
Yeah. Okay. So just to clarify, I've got a purebred dog that's not dissexed that I've got papers for, so I'm entitled to the $23.
Right. You should have been asking for a friend, Councillor, but anyway. Councillor Knott.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just going to make just 3 points if I could. First of all, I should declare a little bit of an interest. My father trained greyhounds, so I have a very soft spot for greyhounds. I have greyhounds at home at Mowbray, so they are a very faithful dog and you become very attached to them. Secondly, I think a very good move by council to have the opportunity to pay by the 31st of July. And I think that's when you look at the pensioner with one dog from $22 down to $14, I think it's a very good move on page 162. That would be welcomed by a number of pensioners who have dogs and so on. And thirdly, I thought that, and I've seen this in operation because I've seen the, choice called the Dog Ranger, but when it was Neville, provided 24/7 call-out service. And I think when I've seen that in operation in down the eastern end of the electorate, municipality, it's been very well received. So, yeah, I'll be supporting it. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Councillor Kelly had one question.
As the mover of the motion, would have been nice to have opened up the discussion.
Oh, I do apologise.
I do apologise. I didn't think it was going to be such a big ticket item, I've got to be honest, but anyway.
I have a couple of questions, maybe for Jonathan. Just curious as to how many dangerous dogs are registered in the municipality. That's question one. I'll answer that one first.
Look, three, Mr. Mayor. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, Councillor, but there aren't a lot. I guess declaring a dog dangerous is something that we try not to do. We try and work with the property owners around getting better compliance, but we do on occasion see dog tax and dogs at large on a regular basis, and we work with the landowners there, but yep, it's not too many.
Thanks, John. One more follow-up.
Yeah, a follow-up question. This one's a little bit cheeky. It appears as though we're offering a discount if paid by the 31st of July. Is this correct?
Yep, so three, Mr. Mayor. No, that's not correct. There's no discount applied to that fee. Councillor, and I probably should note that there are some other things that dogs that are declared dangerous need to do to comply around making sure that the dog is confined within a property and that sort of thing as well.
Could please explain why there's two different prices, one if paid by the 31st of July?
Yeah, so in that case, Councillor, it's going to be the same thing.
Poor Jonathan. I have been harping on about why don't we have the similar sort of discount to people who want to pay their rates in full instead of spreading it over the whole year. So just make a point.
Yep, good. I think, yes, sorry, John.
That's all right. So just through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor's discussed that on a number of times, Councillor, in financial management strategy and in rates policy, and Council as a whole have voted not to introduce a discount.
Thanks, John. Councillor Temple.
Two follow-up questions, if I may, Mr. Mayor. If a greyhound is at a reduced fee as it is for commercial purposes, why is a guard dog not at a reduced fee because it is there for or a watchdog there for a commercial purpose? That was the first question, if I may. And the second one was, are there any other breeds that are, in inverted commas, for commercial purposes, you know, beagles or sniffer dogs or...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we actually don't charge a fee at all for guide dogs, you'll see on there. And the reason that we've got the different breeds listed here is that they're the same as what's in how they're defined under the Dog Control Act. It doesn't go down to things like beagles and all sorts of other sniffer dogs, but it does in the definition for a working dog include dogs that are used for sniffing and working. So.
Okay, we are happy to, no more questions. I'll go back to the seconder of the motion, which was Councillor King. Any comments, Councillor? No. Back to the mover of the motion, Councillor Kelly, to wrap up.
Yes, look, I have quite a few comments on this.
Do you?
No.
One, thank you.
Just kidding. Well done, and put to the vote.
Thank you very much. On that basis, we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. All those against? Carried. Unanimous. Thank you. That's all right. So we've got Development Regulatory Services 3. The recommendation is there in front of you. Would somebody like to move? Somebody like to second? Councillor King, seconder. Councillor Kelly, thank you. Councillor King is the mover. Any discussion? This might be a big one. Thank you. Councillor Kelly.
No, I put it up for discussion.
Thank you. Open for discussion if we need to, councillors. Any discussion? Any questions? Councillor Knott, microphone. Thank you.
Yes. I think it's probably all summed up in second last paragraph on page 167 in the officer's report. Proposed changes to the policy are minor formatting and minor wording changes to provide clarity and improve readability.
Any other discussion, councillors? If not, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Moved, carried, unanimous. Private Timber Reserve is number 4, and myself and the Deputy Mayor will leave.
All sorts of stuff. Is it DNRS4? No, Private Timber Reserves. Do we have a mover and a seconder for the motion? Oh, do I? Okay. I've got to elect myself. Oh. I just offered.
I nominate Tanya.
I just offered in the interest of getting things done. I don't change anything. Do we have a mover and a seconder for the motion as put? Thank you, Councillor Sheriff. And Steph and Councillor Cameron seconded the motion. No, I need to ask the mover and the seconder if they would like to open the discussion. Good. Very welcome. need to write anything here, or is this just the one? All right, any further discussion? Councillor Sinfield?
It doesn't really matter, but clause one in policy four is the second dot point's basically covered by the second dot point in my view, but it's just.
You're referring to the water catchment areas?
Yeah, no, all those things, because what you're taking into account is our scheme, but because a lot of those things are in the scheme. For example, the agricultural zone, from memory, is under the new scheme, is exempt from the codes that deal with biodiversity type matters. So in a sense, whether you're arguing that we're adding in stuff that's not in the scheme, but on the grounds that you're looking at everything that might be relevant, I guess it's reasonable to do.
Are you happy with what's in the policy, or did you want to change it?
Well, yes. No, I just, as I say, in a sense you could argue it's doubling up, but does it imply a notion that we're looking at stuff that we can't actually look at under the scheme? Is it in fact not the case, because it simply says we can look at anything and everything and make an opinion as a council, as opposed to, you know, sort of a statutory, it has to be within our statutory ability to do so, but in terms, it's in one sense a broadening of what the scheme itself is saying, so in that sense it's fine to have it worded like it is, but on the other hand, does it indicate to people that we're looking at stuff that's not in the scheme, and that's probably is the intent of it, I suppose.
I'll take that either as a rhetoric question or a comment then.
Can we get an opinion as to which?
Sorry?
You could tell me which.
I don't think the outcome's any different, really. All right, is there any other further comment or questions on the motion? Then, all those in favour? That's a unanimous one, Meryl. Can I go and sit over there again now? Especially with it. Do you see my eyeshadow? Doesn't it look good? Can I ever? Again, it was like a jab in the eye.
Good.
She used the hammer.
Did she? Wow. Forceful. Hot seat. It's quite warm in here, actually, when you come in from outside.
You might be going through menopause, won't
you? No, I'm not. I know what menopause is like. I do know what menopause is like. Ah, righto. Done. Happy. Moved. Good. Right, Corporate Services 1, Council Audit Panel, receipt of meeting minutes. Somebody like to move? Oh, sorry, where's John? He's not here. I'm sorry to start the meeting without John Temple. Oh, well, we could go probably with the... I'll just wait. Sorry. Better take it down to the IT. Well, I guess where'd John go for a phone call, or did he? Right, okay, well. Right. We'll just ease the meeting just for a little while, John, for your return, so. Right, well, we'll start again. Corporate Services. Somebody would like to move, somebody would like to second. To Councillor Knott and a seconder of Councillor Kelly. As the mover, Councillor Knott.
Mr. Mayor.
Yep.
Is the councillor there representing the council? Yep. Could I speak or
yeah,
now?
Absolutely.
Yep. It was meeting well attended. Andy Gray did a good job in the chair. We dealt with dealt with all the matters that on that agenda. Just had one question. I found that was it. There's a predominance of received and noted. Is there a reason for that in the report, Director Johnson? 20 times or something. It's just simply received and noted.
Yep, so through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll provide a response there. The minutes were compiled by the Secretary, which is our Finance Officer, and by the Chair, Mr. Andrew Gray. So if I just have a review into the number of times. Yeah, it's consistent with the minutes that have been prepared in previous meetings, in that they don't aim to capture all of the discussion, but rather note the reports provided by management. Financial plan, I guess from what I can see here, Councillor, a number relate to policies that Council have in place and strategies that Council has in place, and a number of those are publicly available on our Council's website. Financial reports that were received through a previous council meeting. So I guess that's my observation, Councillor.
Anything else, Councillor Knott? No, thank you. Councillor Kelly is the seconder of the motion. Any?
Yeah,
thank you. Open it up for Councillor discussion. Councillor questions? No, nothing. I'll go back. Councillor Kelly as the seconder. Anything? Councillor Knott as the mover.
It's been covered, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. I'll put the motion in. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Thank you. That's unanimous, Marilyn. Thank you. Thanks, councillors. We're over to Governance 1, Greater Launceston Greater Launceston Creative City Steering Group Support. For Councillor Bower and Cameron, we had a presentation at the last workshop from two people representing this proposal. So that is there in front of us. So anybody like to move? Anybody like to second this going forward? Councillor Cameron.
I'm happy to move it. And just I have had a briefing as well on that.
Yep.
So
thank you. Thank you. Seconder for the motion. Councillor Sinfield. Thank you. As the mover of the motion, Councillor Cameron.
I'm happy to support it, and I think it probably fits in well with some things that we've spoken about before with where we'd like our council to head. And, look, I think, happy to support it for this first year and see where it goes after that.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Sinfield as the seconder of the motion.
Not really. I guess my only thing is the alternative way of funding the 4 years and removing the funding if we're unhappy, but that's six of one, half a dozen of the other. I just hope it doesn't give us gastro going forward. But apart from that, at this stage, depending on what I hear, to support it.
Thank you. Councillor Knott, your microphone's still on. Just to... open for discussion, Councillor Sheriff.
Although I'm not a big fan of these things, I'm prepared to give them a crack and see what they can prove to give us. So happy to support this year.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly.
I'm not a lover of these types of structures. I think there'd be one of those things that I class as one of those fluffy feel-good type groups, and I do believe that it's not good use of ratepayers' money. These types of groups, once they get started, even when they're not performing, they become extremely difficult to cut from the umbilical cord. So for that reason, I won't be supporting it.
Thanks, Councillor. Kelly? For my point of view, I've looked at this. This is a first step for Launceston City to get their UNESCO, I guess, tick off. They're not guaranteed that they'll get that. Most other councils in this area that I'm aware of are supporting it, and some of them have put a budget forward of up to 5 years, which was what was proposed for us. As you see in the recommendation, we're talking about 1 year of $8,818 to start off with. From my point of view, an agricultural background and with primary producers, I think it's good for us to show some leadership and try and get some niche markets and some food productivity happening and into Launceston City to get the reputation of our food producers that may well be small at the moment to getting going, just remembering that every large company started off as a very small company, potentially in a kitchen or a backyard. And I think this is one step, and if we don't like it after 12 months, we do not have to continue, but we're just showing in-kind support at the moment. So on that basis, I'll be supporting the motion. Thank you. Anyone else? Comments? Questions? Take that as no comments, no questions. I'll go back to the seconder of the motion, Councillor Sinfield.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. We, with some reticence over some of these things, as the Deputy Mayor said, but I think the potential value here is significant. We are seeing some great examples of downstream processing for our locally grown produce, and we need to see more and more of that. And if this helps as an adjunct or helps to identify the region and further progress that, then I'm all for it. And hopefully within the year they'll have gone a long way down the path of getting that status into play and what then might come off the back of it.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cameron has the move of the motion.
No, nothing further to add. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, Councillor Bower.
Just ask, unless I'm... can you just point to them if they're there? What are the deliverables? So often with these groups, and I've got to agree with the Deputy Mayor in this regard, we go into these things and, yes, it is definitely a good idea, but we get a year in or 2 years in and then nothing gets delivered, and then we go, oh, hang on a minute, you know. So I would prefer that we have some very clear deliverables outlined to us before committing to funding.
Thanks, Councillor. There are KPIs in the back of the paperwork. There are also, the first step is my understanding that they have to get UNESCO to tick off on this creative city of gastronomy, which is they're putting the application together and hope to submit it in July, which is off the top of my head. And that from there, they'll know whether they go forward or they don't. I can't answer your question fully, Councillor, because I haven't got it in front of me. GM, have you got anything to add for Councillor Bower?
There's no specific KPIs other than the fact that implicit within the document overall is a, to the Mayor's point, two significant milestones, I think. Is one is community engagement and also the lodgement of the application under the Creative Cities Program with UNESCO. Our measure of success, I'd suggest, would be a successful application in this first 12 months.
I guess further to add to that, Councillor Bower, that's probably one of the reasons why the recommendation is for 1 year and not the 4 or 5 years that they were asking of us to start off with. So, any other discussions, questions, councillors? About to put that. If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Thank you. All those against? Thank you. Councillor Kelly, against? Thank you. Governance 2 is policy number 91. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second? Councillor King is a mover. A seconder, please. a page 210. No seconder for this motion. Councillor Temple, thank you. Councillor King is the mover.
So that I'm pleased that Council are working towards addressing the issues that climate change is presenting. Whether we like it or not, or whether we acknowledge it or not, is an issue that we need to address moving forward. And I'd rather be showing some leadership in this space rather than the other options. So happy to move it.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillor Temple is the seconder of the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support the item and what has happened in the last year, and thank the General Manager and staff for what has happened. I'm wondering if it would be a good idea to have it as an item at a workshop at some time in the foreseeable future, so we could just work through any other ideas or opportunities, possibilities we know about there that may be included in subsequent years.
Thanks, Councillor. Happy to put that on our workshop agenda. Do you want to talk?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I think the briefing note highlights that we're awaiting some studies by University of Tasmania around climate change specific issues for Northern Tasmania. I suggest once that report is to hand, and that'll be a great opportunity to have an informed discussion around the workshop around what adaptation means for Meander Valley, and also the secondary question for me is mitigation. So yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Knott. Microphone, Councillor.
Mr. Mayor, am I right in saying that the Premier is the Minister for Climate Change?
Yes.
I hope he gets back in.
Yes.
Governs in their own right?
Yes. Right, any other discussions, questions? Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, I'll be as diplomatic as I possibly can with this one. Quite a few years ago it was global warming, and then that weren't working, so they changed it to climate change. But where I'm a little bit, unsure of myself is that there are some outstanding initiatives there, like with the bioenergy and so forth, which is hard to knock back. We've been doing that long before we even had a climate change policy in place. The other question that I do have, and this one doesn't sit with me at all really, to be perfectly honest, and that is the electric vehicle charging offered free. I just don't agree with that at all. I just think that's a pretty poor outcome for our ratepayers. So I'm very mixed as to which way to go with this one. And so I'm hoping there'll be some decent conversation around the table to convince me to vote for it.
Thanks, Councillor. I guess regarding the electric vehicle policy, that can always come back and be talked about at a workshop. So, councillors, any other discussion? Red lights up there everywhere. Councillor Sinfield.
On that very point, I would have thought the motivation for it was that we were earlier adopters of, seen to be doing something in the community in that space. I suspect the electric vehicle charging cost per vehicle is probably fairly small compared to the cost of installing the thing in the first place. I'm not sure it's getting a huge use. Is it? Is that why it goes home better than it comes there? I would think that was the motivation, was to be seen to be doing something. And I guess they'll get spread out more across the community. I mean, the poor outcome about that, in a sense, is that it takes forever to charge your vehicle on the thing compared to those fast-charging ones. Yes, we're all having a conversation with... Well, it's a good conversation starter because they like having interaction with the people that walk up the street sometimes. But yeah, ticked the box of being seen to be doing something, I guess, in that space. But if you were looking at it again now, I suspect you probably would find better ways of engaging in that, in this climate change space, maybe.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillors, any other discussion? I guess looking at this policy as we're going through, we have completed some road surfacing using construction from recycled materials, which is good to see. I think we can always be doing something, and we are. So, any other discussion, councillors? If not, I'll go back to Councillor Temple as the seconder of the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to respond to a comment, I felt we had the vehicle charging station as an incentive for us as a council to own some electric vehicles, that was part of the initiative, and that may come in the future. I certainly don't see free charging as something that will be there indefinitely, but it is an incentive for people in the short term, to some early adopters, to get some electric vehicles.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor King is the mover of the motion.
No, I'm just happy to support the recommendation as put.
Thank you. On that basis, then I'll put the motion. Then all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. All those against? Thank you. Governance 3. Recommend the council receives and notes the annual plan. Somebody like to move governance 3, page 213. Ask again. So somebody like to move. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Seconder. Councillor King. Councillor Cameron as the mover. No. Nope. Councillor King as a seconder. Yep. Any other discussion, councillors? Questions? I think it's a good plan that's come together, Jackie. It's pretty easy to read. Got some things to do, but thank you. Anything else, councillors? Getting not much. Last time, anything else? Nope. Back to Councillor King as the second of the motion, anything? No. Councillor Cameron? Okay, I will put the motion. All those in favour, as it sits, please say aye and raise your hands. That is unanimous. Thank you. Thanks, councillors. Yeah, no, I knew what you was up to. Items for closed session. So somebody's got to move, somebody second. Councillor Kelly moves. Somebody second, please. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. When I just moved this first one, we've just got to move council close the meeting to the public to discuss the following items. So, have a discussion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. So, all right. Against? Yeah, you voted. Yeah. All in favour. Thank you.